This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Jason Bogue loves books. As a toddler, he was a frequent visitor at the local library in Lyons, Michigan. He continued reading and writing his way to a journalism degree at NYU, spent 5 years as the publishing editor for Media Bistro, where he covered books and publishing. Then he became a dad. Jason and his wife wanted their daughter, Olive, to love books, but knew she'd be born into a world full of screens and digital devices. So Jason wrote a book. He talked to doctors and authorities on child development, education, and literature to get the latest advice on encouraging today's kids to read. The result is Born Reading, Bringing Up Bookworms in a Digital Age.
It's really simple. Parents can learn it in about an hour. It's basically when you're reading a book to a child, you really have to make it an interactive experience for them. You need to ask questions about the colors, about the feelings that the characters are having. And if you have a child that's not even ready to talk about these things, you can point and you can help them interact with the text itself. That interaction is one of the most important things you can do for a growing child's brain.
Well, there are 15 points to this interactive reading, and we can't go through all of them individually, so we'll just kind of use that as a lens for this entire conversation. First, when do you start reading to a kid?
I tell people that those first couple weeks, just do it. I mean, reading is a set of motions. We all think that we were kind of readers, that it's in our blood or something like that, but it's not. It's a set of motions that you were taught by your parents or the caregivers, the people that cared to share books with you. Earlier this, about a month ago, the American Academy of Pediatrics actually put out recommendations telling pediatricians to start informing parents of this very fact, that you should just be reading from infancy onward with your child.
And you write that kids can interact with books at 6 months. Interact? Really? How?
This is actually the very first piece of evidence I collected myself for the book. I had been reading to my daughter this book called Lost and Found, and I had been reading that book to my daughter for a few months, and she just sits there. I don't know how many people in the audience have experience with newborns. They just sit there. They don't do anything. They're very mute. But I could see her eyes following it, and about 6 months in, I had been reading this book for a while, and the penguin, there's this triumphant moment when he comes back, and every time I would be interactive, I would highlight that moment with expressive motions, and it was magical. She lit up, and she actually squealed for joy. It was the first reaction I had ever seen her have to a piece of text, and it was for me the very first moment that she grasped how a story worked.
You speak to others who have done other research. John Protzko at NYU wrote about how to make kids smarter. Some data from Dr. Grover Whitehurst, who came up with this idea of interactive reading after studying 21 to 35-month-olds. You write about giving kids a leg up by teaching them to read. Any factual data or numbers you can share with us that illustrate that point?
Yeah, the NYU study you mentioned by Protzko, that was the one that really turned me on to this. They looked at about 6 to 8 different studies of child development and found that reading to a child can quantitatively raise their IQ by 6 points. Seeing that number really kind of blew my mind. I mean, in some ways, it is common sense. I mean, we know that reading is helpful and that people that have been reading books, it makes them smarter, but the cognitive gains that happen that early in a child's life, I think it's really important. You can't reiterate it enough that reading really is changing your child's brain, making them smarter, and also just making them more emotionally healthy as they're learning how to explain their feelings and how to actually control those feelings.
Now, you encourage parents to carefully consider how and when they introduce digital devices to kids. We've heard the argument that devices are more interactive than paper books and therefore healthier than watching television, for example. How do digital books and devices fit into this idea of interactive reading?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that word interactive lately. If you look at any app store right now, you'll see that word interactive batted around many, many times. And there's two senses of the word interactive. There's one, the sense of a device that can interact with its user. The other, more profound meaning for me, is an interaction between two people. And that's what interactive reading means. It's when a human being is talking to another human being. And it turns out, I spoke to neuroscientists about that. It turns out that for a growing brain, the only thing that will help that brain grow, that will carve new neural pathways in the brain, is the human voice. You could have one of these devices reading a book to you, but it would not have the same impact that you see when a human is reading that same book to them.
How do you encourage your kids to read books in an age dominated by screens? Jason Bogue is with us. We've spoken to him many times when he led the Galley Cat blog. Now he's out with a new practical guide to encouraging kids to develop a lifelong love of reading. It's called Born Reading, Bringing Up Bookworms in a Digital Age. Do we have enough data now on when to introduce digital devices to kids? And what did you come away with? Any suggestions?
Yeah, the child development community does not have enough data to conclusively say this is the correct amount of time to spend. I go back to the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations that were issued a few years ago. I still believe them. I still think they're important. It says no or minimalize screen time before 2 years old. And after that, I wouldn't do more than an hour a day. It's tough. It's not going to make your life easier. These devices are tremendous. Powerful babysitters. And I encourage parents to try to do the same thing and just to really be mindful how much time you're spending on these devices. And the other really, really important thing that numerous experts told me is no devices at bedtime. Let your child know that bedtime is when we read books or when we tell each other stories, but those screens are tremendously disruptive to sleep patterns and just your calming down process.
Well, I imagine that one of the well-thumbed pages in the book will be page 64, How to Avoid Using Devices. Some tactics. But one of the things I enjoyed about the book is that you do know that kids are going to be drawn to apps. They're going to be drawn to electronic books, to television, to other media. So one of the tactics you use is a kind of reading bundle. I'd like to unpack one of those reading bundles now. Here's something to lead us into that may sound very familiar to listeners.
Lemon, don't let them see. Be a good girl. You always have to be. Let it go. Let it go.
That's a four-year-old from Brooklyn singing Let It Go, the song from Frozen that is just on just about any kid's lips. So let's explore this idea. Just about every kid in America knows the words to that song. What are some suggestions for launching off of that passion into books?
Yeah, well, Virginia, I first of all, I'm kind of hurt. You should have just asked me to sing that song. I'm perfectly capable of singing it. You don't need to bring on four-year-olds.
You might not be as instantly cute.
No, we sing that song all the time in my house, and it was one of those things. I mean, it comes into your house as an audiovisual thing. It's a movie, and you want to limit that time that she spends watching movies. But she had such enthusiasm for it. And over and over and over, the experts told me the only way children learn is when they're chasing the things that they're interested in. So I looked at this. I said, here's something she's really interested in. What can we do to expand upon that? So I went to the bookstore, and Random House has published tons of Frozen spin-off books. The one that I recommend, after looking at many, many of them, the Frozen Big Golden Book is really the most satisfying out of all of those. It's a way of revisiting a movie and kind of having an interactive reading experience going through the story again on the page. And then after that, you can use, and I started to do this with Olive, there's a number of apps that actually let your child tell a story. My Story, Feltboard, Draw and Tell, Toontastic, these are all really powerful tools for letting your child tell stories with simple digital puppets, simple digital tools that they can draw with. And you can say, hey, I know you love the story of Elsa and Anna. What happens next? And they can actually draw it. Or if they can't draw, they can use these little puppets and make voices and record themselves making the sequel to Frozen and continuing that story. It's really cool to watch them learn storytelling that way. And then the thing I've been reminding parents is it's based on Hans Christian Andersen's The Snow Queen, which is a really great fairy tale that I hadn't read in many, many, many years. There's a lot of amazing stuff going on in that story. I found an old-time radio drama adaptation of it, like a 1930s kids show that adapted it. It was really fun. Olive and I spent time listening to that in the car. And then the Great Chkowski did an adaptation as well, and I found that adaptation with a Russian ballerina reading the story, and Olive was enraptured by the whole thing. And Olive and I sat in the car and spent many hours discussing how love can thaw the frozen heart, which is the message of both Hans Christian Andersen's story and Frozen as well.
That makes it so exciting, and I guess feel a little bit less like, I don't know, brain candy to watch a Disney film. But I do read a lot of dispiriting statistics on kids raised in households that don't read or are very verbal. Is this interactive reading model something that public education, not just parents, can take up?
I really feel it's a public health issue, exactly what you've just described. I feel like we should be treating those statistics as something as troubling as malnutrition. I mean, it's really an important part of brain growth for children. And just because these techniques take about an hour to learn, and they were tested in communities where there weren't a lot of resources, and it's easy for anyone to learn it. So I was really encouraged that the American Academy of Pediatrics is now telling doctors to remind parents that this is important. But I really think it should be a policy push. We really should just be making sure that parents have this information when they leave the hospital.
Okay, so with the pack of disposable diapers, Born Reading by Jason Bogue in every Bring It On Home kit, huh?
Well, it doesn't have to be my book. I would think there's plenty, and I stress this on my website as well. Like, if someone it doesn't have the resources to reach out for my book, there are plenty of free resources to learn the art of interactive reading online too. Plenty of things you can print off, put on your refrigerator. I feel this is so important, and whatever we can do to spread the message to parents is valuable.
Well, Jason, congratulations on the book, and thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real pleasure. I love being on the show. Thank you.
Jason Bogue, Director of Story Investigation at True Pictures. His new book is called Born Reading, Bringing Up Bookworms in a Digital Age, from picture books to ebooks and everything in between. It features suggestions for the best books and teacher-approved apps for kids from birth to age 5, and there's much more practical advice on his website. You'll find a link to it at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And we're going to leave you with a little bit of one of Tchaikovsky's compositions from The Snow Queen.